It becomes their own board. Many companies and many of our CEOs and business owners, we call it an advisory board or C12 group. It becomes their board. It becomes, I can't tell you how many times when there's been a topic or decision pending, that CEO waits, brings it to this board and says, okay, here's the situation. I need advice here. It becomes their board, but it also becomes a way for them to keep sharpening the saw each month. It gives them the one day a month to work on their business instead of in their business.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I'm here with my husband, Chris, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. We are privileged to be your host today for an incredible interview.
I think this interview today is going to be of high interest. Bob Phillips. Bob leads a C12 group here in Memphis. These are groups where executives come together to sharpen one another and to advance each of their businesses, their professional life, but also from an eternal perspective. Karen, give us a little bit more of Bob's background.
Well, as we talk about leading like Jesus, Bob, who had 25 years of business and leadership experience, most recently about a 12-year stint where he was president and CEO of a third-party logistics company. He has moved now to the C12 group where he is the managing chair. There are so many different elements, both from your leadership perspective in the corporate world, but also as we are trying to be leaders of influence and of faith. Bob, we're so excited to learn from you today.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
Bob, every time that we talk to a leader, we know that everyone's interested in what your core competencies are. But before we learn what made you this type of executive level leader, we really want to know a little bit about who you are. It's always great to know the story, the backstory behind someone as a leader. Give us a little bit of your personal background, where you grew up, kind of education background.
I grew up, I'm a coast kid, I call it. So I grew up as a young child on the East Coast. And then as a young adult, I moved to the West Coast. I met my wife in 1987, married in 1990, had a little time in Phoenix, Arizona. And that's where I got recruited to work for a company back then called MCI. That was right after the divestiture in 1984. Ma Bell had broken up and entered the telecommunications field. From there, took a promotion. We went to California, actually in Phoenix, Arizona at that moment. Went to back to San Francisco, opened up a couple divisions with MCI in the early days. Was married in 1990 to my wife, who had a wonderful son named Bobby. He was 4 when I married her. We had a daughter a couple years later. If you date me, I guess my son's 30 and my daughter's 24. So there you go. We moved on a corporate transfer here to Memphis, Tennessee in 1993. So it's been 23 years since we've been here.
Time flies. It is remarkable when I hear you give those dates. I sit there and go through timelines in my mind of where I was at, you know. And
yeah.
And I think we are almost to the age we will stop giving the age of our children. So we have a few more years.
And then. It's not as fun now. So to say they're that old. But yes, we're empty nesters in a new chapter for our lives.
One of the unique parts, obviously, about this podcast is it's Lead Like Jesus.
Right.
Tell us where your faith journey began and how that began to run parallel to the timeline you just gave us, and then how your faith has shaped who you are as a person and as a leader.
Yeah, well, the timelines are interesting. I grew up as a Christian, quote Christian, but it was more of a club than it was a walking daily faith. We moved here in 1993, and I thought I had a perfect marriage. My wife kept reminding me that it wasn't so perfect. We were at a crossroads. There were some things that I was blind. I had a lot of blind spots. My wife actually led me to the Lord.
Wow.
And she wanted to keep putting little flyers in front of me, and there was a marriage retreat we could go to and so forth. So I went to church for the first time probably 15 years. Walked in 1994, 95. Gave my heart to the Lord in 1996. It's been 20 years.
For many couples, if one spouse is a believer and another's not, sometimes you want to give up and think it's never going to happen. But we often say, obviously, the Lord does love your spouse and is pursuing them.
But yeah, I managed a group in Memphis and in Nashville. And so I'd had a lot of road time. And I love the group Hootie and the Blowfish. Loved them for years,
sure.
Right? I love Darius Rucker's voice.
Yeah.
So she slipped me a early version of Third Day in Mac Powell. And she says, you may like his tone of voice. Through listening to that and softening the heart. And we just celebrated 26 years of marriage last Thursday. So I'm very grateful.
She's got great music taste and glad to see the way the Lord used your life. When we think about our faith, one of the things that I find interesting, as you mentioned this, that oftentimes people who are successful and kind of climbing the ladder become kind of self-sufficient, and they become a little bit independent at times and don't necessarily see their need for Christ. So I find it common a lot of times that, you know, you said, well, our marriage wasn't perfect. What we really see is a lot of times people find Christ in the crisis. For you, as you began to discover who Christ was, what were the things that God used to grow your faith over the last 23 years that have kind of been the greatest common denominators to help you begin to grow as a man of God?
I think one of the things that God really opened up, he put me in a community of believers. He opened up a small home church to me. Been walking with for about the last 16 years. We sort of looked for churches early on. We kind of went from here to there, and then we really found a home church. It was an accountable church. It was so small that when you were missing, you were going to get a call at home. Hey, is everything okay? And it's still that way today. It's probably, if we all bring a friend, it'll be 50 people. It's probably 20 or 30 people every week, but it's a really small, intimate group in a sense of highly accountable.
So when we think about that highly accountable group, I'm guessing there may be some overlap now in what you do in the sense of the C12 group is also a highly accountable group. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that maybe you have learned through your faith journey along with your professional experience that has prepared you for this particular assignment. Introduce for us what C12 is and what your role is in C12.
C12 is a Christian organization. The C stands for Christ and the 12 is the size of a table or a group. It works pretty well, 12 apostles. It's where business CEOs or business owners come together, give up a day a month, and work on their business, work on their ministry and their business, and work on sharpening themselves amongst peers. It's a full day. We have MBA-level material that is presented each month that challenges the thinking, challenges the CEO to walk their faith intentionally through their business. But the fundamental belief is that God owns everything and we're just stewards of his business. So really looking to God to what does God want them to do with their business, not just to build bigger barns.
Bob, as I'm listening to your story and I'm thinking about so many of the godly leaders that we have had the chance to speak to, some of them have the story that they came to Christ younger in life. So they entered the workforce with a paradigm of making a difference. You had been in corporate America. You had been in leadership for a period of time, and then you began that relationship. So how did you begin to see your relationship with Christ change what you were doing in the workplace?
I was one of the charter members of the C12 group here in Memphis. Now, C12's been around for 24 years, but there wasn't a group in Memphis a few years ago. I always tell the story, I think it was a God thing, because C12, when they were trying to start up their first group here, they did mass mailings to different CEOs and so forth. And in my admin, at my office, I'd never wanted the junk mail. So I said, just give me the real stuff and you can keep the junk mail. Well, the 2 days that she was on vacation over a couple month period of time, there was a C12 flyer on my desk. And I looked at the first one. I glanced at it and said, I wonder what that is. I actually threw it away. And then within the second time she was out on vacation or whatever she was out for, all the junk mail landed on my desk again. And on the top again was another C12 advertisement. I took it home and I showed it to my wife and I said, you know, there's something about this. I feel called to go at least attend an informational meeting. So I did. And then a group of us actually started the first membership here. And walking with the C12 group over the last couple of years, so I was a founding member 2 or 3 years ago, or a charter member 2 or 3 years ago, and walking with those CEOs, God was shaping me for exactly what I'm doing here today. I was in a different spot because I was the CEO of a company that was held by an equity fund, so I didn't have all the controls to be able to say, hey, this business is for the kingdom. So you sort of feel constrained and you want to do things in a different way. And so you're walking with CEOs that are really the owners of the group. My heart was changing for, like I said earlier, my kids are grown. You know, what's my second half going to look like? And how can I give back on the second half? My heart has been moving for the last 2 years and God was forming me for exactly what I'm doing today.
Bob, as I was looking over the website and I looked at the mission of C12, it says this, to change the world by advancing the kingdom of God in the marketplace through the companies and lives of those Christ calls to lead their businesses for him. So that's the mission. Break down for us some of the practical ways that you guys do that. You talked about that you meet once a month, but then what's involved in that? How do you bring that mission into fulfillment?
Every month has different topics. This month, we're entering into a topic of being the employer of choice. So helping CEOs understand what that looks like in the marketplace. Just to kind of springboard off of your conference recently, the millennials, we've been talking about that for a while, but understanding what that workplace looks like and to be able to be an employer in choice with that work group coming in and is going to be the majority over the next 10 years. It'll be the majority. If you're not looking to that, trying to be the employer choice for that generation, and you're looking at the baby boomers or Generation X guys, you're going to miss it a little bit. There's always a topic that every month that builds. We ask the hard questions. What are you doing about being the employer of choice? And what are you going to do about going back next month and then creating to-dos, accountable to-dos to the group? This group is not just coming in for the information. They're coming in to sharpen, to become better. Before they leave that meeting, every meeting, they're going to have a list of to-dos to do before the next meeting. We have a sergeant of arms that keeps them accountable of the group because there's a little financial penalty.
Wow.
that we give, and we get the pool big enough, and then we give it to charity. It's going back to Jesus is let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And we ask the CEOs, put their to-dos down and become a better place.
I'm loving the sound of this because I like that high performance, high intensity environment. So break down a little bit further for us. What is unique about that environment when you get 12 CEOs in a room together? Talk to us a little bit about just how when you begin to talk on a topic like that, you narrow your focus. And I'm assuming what we begin to see happen is the learning accelerates because of who's in the room.
Well, you got to think about it. In so many CEOs, business owners, they really don't have anybody to go to talk around these subjects. They have to be careful about asking the people that report to them because they may get the answer they want to hear. The person may not be bold enough to give them the answer they don't want to hear. And so there's a dynamic in play for them. And so this gives them the opportunity to come in once a month to work on their business and to get real insight because no one around that table is worried about hurting each other's feelings, so to speak. We're going to be brutally honest. We're going to be loving about it. But at the same time, we're going to give real feedback because there's not a vested interest between any of the parties and they can speak into each other's lives. The CEOs come in and they're at all levels. Generally speaking, it's $1 million a year in revenues and to $1 billion. So there's a lot of experience in that room. They can learn from each other. You ask around the table and say, hey, have you done a company retreat? And how does that look like? How does that work? What did you get out of it? How do you measure it? There's companies that have done all kinds of sort of things. And how do you become an employer in choice? And you see best case, you see best practices. You get ironing, sharpening, ironing the whole day. But it's broken down in three ways. We can talk about that maybe later. I'll go into detail how each day is broken down.
As I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, what a unique environment. If you're a CEO, there are certain qualities about you that have allowed you to get to that level of leadership. My sense would be most of the time, those would be the hardest people to get to commit to something like this. What is it that keeps them investing that time in those relationships?
It becomes their own board. Many companies and many of our CEOs and business owners, we call it an advisory board or C12 group. It becomes their board. It becomes, I can't tell you how many times when there's been a topic or decision pending, that CEO waits, brings it to this board and says, okay, here's the situation. I need advice here. It becomes their board, but it also becomes a way for them to keep sharpening the saw each month. It gives them the one day a month to work on their business instead of in their business. We always hear CEOs talking about, wow, one day a month. How am I going to give up one day a month? Well, if you can't give up one day a month and work on your business, when will you be able to? And most of the answer is they're just so buried. They just got to keep working on it.
Right.
You keep grinding it. When do you stop to work on your business? So this is the one day that they say, I'm going to work on my business instead of all the stuff that needs to be done.
When you talk about it being a type of advisory board, that in those moments, because people have a fresh perspective, sometimes when we're inside our own world, we have those blind spots that you mentioned earlier. But when we have someone from the outside looking in, they can see something that's obvious.
Right.
We've neglected. And those are those aha moments,
right,
you know, that make that day worth countless dollars, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Different polls we do with our members. By far, all the members say one decision has saved them thousands and thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's an incredible value.
Chris is sitting here chomping at the bit, which he was a CEO, so he could be a part of this group. Like, especially they put their...
I am going to be a part of this group.
That's right. They put their skin in the game. They're serious about it. Everybody's committed. you have a level of excellence that allows them to come and see this as value added to their career, to their life, but you also have this faith element. How does that group function to sharpen each other in their priorities and in their relationships? Because here are men and women that are, as you mentioned, snowed under, and the tendency would be to allow business to be number one and to be their God. How does that work into that group?
Well, I think that's the binding part of it all, is the faith element. Everything is pointing back biblically. So we don't have any prescriptive things about running a business from C12. However, we look at everything biblically. So we rely on the Bible for everything, and our faith is the biggest part. The front end of the whole day starts with devotion. The first hour and a half of the day is a devotion around the scripture. And the last part of the day is working your ministry in your business. It's the middle part of the day is working on your business. But that camaraderie for that CEO becomes very strong. It's not because we're really excellent at business, and we are, but it's about our faith and our love for them.
It's a place where they can speak freely in their own place. Like you said earlier, they're having to be careful about all these different relational dynamics. Yeah. When you're with peers that understand the complexities of being the boss or being the leader
right.
in that regard, then there is a certain sense where you can be respectful, but yet at the same time, you can speak freely about some of the struggles that come with that level of leadership.
It's very safe. It's a safe environment, highly confidential, obviously, what happens in the room. But it's the one place they know that we absolutely care, not only for them, but for their business, for their employees, and that we'll do anything. We always have situations. We have situations on our boards right now where our other members are diving into other businesses that may be in trouble. Let's help, because it can be very lonely and tough times in business for a CEO to kind of figure this roadmap out to a better day. That's the real part.
Bob, this is just the beginning of this conversation to learn about C12 and all the ways that you can grow in your leadership by being a part of a group like this. And I look forward to part two of learning more of the specifics with you, and where we can just really dive deeper into this. Thank you so much for being a part of this. If people want to learn more about C12 or be able to contact you or follow you in some way, what's the best way for them to do that?
Email. You can do it at bob.phillips@c12group.com. My website is c12memphis.com. You could look at us there, or you want to reach me by telephone, 901-283-7777.
Bob, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to part two. Again, c12memphis.com if you want more information. Also, for information and leadership development training and resources, visit us at leadlikejesus.com.